And he always brings the word well. So thank you, Lord, for your minister, for the wisdom that you've given Phil, and for the words that he will speak to us, that you anoint him by your Holy Spirit to bring truth and revelation to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah, talking about Tamil, I've got a wonderful testimony with regard to the Tamil language. About the only word I can say in Tamil is namaskaram. I'm going over there in March to some Tamils in Sri Lanka. I needed to have all the material that I use available in Tamil. And so for 3 weeks, I know it's been translated into Tamil. And so for 3 weeks, I've been trying to get that downloaded and able to be downloaded in Sri Lanka, right? It took 3 weeks, and I was starting to get pretty worried about it. Man, this is good. We're going to have to translate on the spot kind of thing, which we have to do sometimes. Well, on Thursday and Friday, in fact, on Friday, I was able to come up, and I said to Deepa, Krishna Kumar's wife, I said, you can read Tamil, can't you? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't read a bit. I can speak it and read it. You know, and she gives me a little demonstration, and so I go to this site and I put in pgunderwood2@gmail.com, and then I put in multiply123, and then I changed it from English to Tamil right in front of Deepa, and bingo, all the English changed into Tamil. And she went, "Oh, pastor!" You know, she was really excited when she saw that. Did she go home and show you? She hasn't shown you yet. She told me she was going straight home to show you. In fact, I said, "Make sure you show Christo Kumar." She didn't, eh? Well, we're going to have to deal with her on that one. Yeah, yeah. But I'm so happy. I'm so happy that it's available. And then, so I got on the phone and I called by WhatsApp. It's wonderful, isn't it? A few years ago. It was so much of a trial trying to call anybody anywhere in the world. Remember? In fact, we didn't do it because it was, I can't be bothered doing that, you know. And then Skype came along and then a few other things, and now there's WhatsApp. And at any time I like, I can just pick up the phone and call somebody, and it's free as long as they're on WhatsApp. So I called Shihan in Sri Lanka, and he's Sinhalese. So part of Sri Lanka is Tamil and part is Sinhalese. So I called him and I took him through the same process. I just said, write in pgunderwood2@gmail.com and then see up there where it says English. You change that into Tamil, and he changed it, and it just all unfolded into Tamil right there in front of him. And he says, "Oh, Pastor, I can't read Tamil." So I said, okay, go back to English. So he flicked it back to English, and there it was, all in English. Wonderful. I mean, you got no idea. I could be skipping right now. I'm so happy, you know, that's happened, because I can do it in Hindi. I can do it in all kinds of different languages around the world now. So it's wonderful. So the thing is, while I'm over there, we will be translating all the material that I use from One Mission Society. We'll be translating that into Sinhalese. And so before too long, that will be on the site, and it'll be, somebody will be able to click on Sinhalese, and 30 million people will be able to read these books in their own language. I get excited by that. I get really excited by that. And it has to do with what I'm talking about today. We're talking about reaching up and being positioned by God to experience more of God so that more of His purposes are accomplished. That's what it's all about. It's not about us getting more jollies for God, you know? It's not about that. It's about us being lifted up by God so that God is able to use us for His purposes in an even greater way. And I'm saying to you, as I said the last time I spoke to you, that the best way you can serve God is by being yourself, because He created you. He didn't create you to be somebody else. In fact, I think that if you try and be somebody else, that's the closest God will get to being mad. I didn't create you. I remember once when I was a kid that I really wanted to play at a certain position in football. And the coach said, "Phil, you're no good at that position. I don't want you to play there. I want you to play over here." So, no, I want to play in this particular position. All right? So about a quarter of the way into the game, I dropped the ball in this new position. And the coach comes over and he grabs me by the shoulder and he says, "Underwood, I want you over here. This is where you're good. And that was the closest he ever got to being mad with me. And I think God does that with us sometimes. You know, he'll take a hold of us and he'll put us, if we've made ourselves available, he'll take us and he'll put us into the position that he wants us to be in, because he's designed us. Ephesians 2:10 says that he's designed us for that place, for that position. He's made us for that. We're unique. Thank God there's only one Steve McFarlane. Thank God there's only one Yawn. Thank God there's only one Rich Talley. Thank God there's only one Phil Underwood, right? Because God wants his reflection to be demonstrated throughout the lens of us. How's that for a phrase? Through the lens of us in a very unique way. There's some person that he wants his reflection to come to them through us because of our uniqueness. Think about that. And I too was thinking about God being mad with us during the week. Right, and I came to the conclusion, and a lot of people might get really theologically fussed about this, but don't bother and don't do it here. Go home and rage at the wallpaper or something like that. But you know, I just can't buy into God tormenting his children. You know, I believe that the God that is there and sets an example for us in unity, for example, so that we can attain to a unity. We won't necessarily get there, but there are moments we touch that divine unity that God demonstrates to us, and they lead to very sweet moments in fellowship. This breaking of bread thing that you guys are organizing, that's your goal. You want us to be there together, and you want us as a family to touch something and grasp something of this divine unity that God demonstrates for us in his Godhead. And I also believe that a really good example of how God deals with his children is found in the parable of the waiting father. It's also called the parable of the prodigal son. The Scots actually call it the parable of the waiting father, you see. There's a man who wrote a book about it. In fact, it was almost a poetic book. I must find it and give it to you because I think you'd be interested in it. That the man has got a hold of, I forget his name right now, but he got a hold of something. And he went at it from the point of view that God, in this case, in this parable, is being demonstrated or is being drawn for us as a waiting father. Now, when that prodigal son returns, what does he do with him? He restores him. In fact, I think he's probably, I'd be tempted to want to get a hold of that prodigal son and say, I've got a stick here and I'm going to give you a whack for every prostitute you slept with. I'm going to give you a whack for every dollar you wasted. I'm going to give you a whack sometimes that's where our heart goes. Boy, am I going to deal with you. And it just doesn't happen. Kill the fatted calf. For he has come home. That's the heart of God. That's the heart of God. And this morning, God has asked us to look at ourselves and allow God to say, welcome home, son. Welcome home, daughter. Welcome home, my child. Welcome home. Don't you think that's what when God speaks to us prophetically like this, don't you think that this is what he's saying, welcome home, welcome home. I'm not mad at you. I want you to come home. I want you to sit at my table. I want you to sup with me. And oh, come on, sit down with the older son. Sometimes we consign the older son to somewhere out there, but I think that in God's plans and purposes, he's there at the table as well, because God wants to sit and eat and sup with his family. He's not mad at us. He made us. He made us to be who he made us to be. All he asks us on top of that is to be available to being filled by his Holy Spirit, so the uniqueness that is us can be used by the power of God in unique kinds of ways. Isn't this gospel beautiful? God wants us redeemed so he can use us in unique and incredible and beautiful. So often we strive to be what we're not. I mean, put me into an Episcopal service and I've just got too many ants in my pants to be in an Episcopal service. You know, in fact, just because I'm me, I'd probably want to stand when the rest of them are sitting. I think I'm the only guy who played golf and threw the ball instead of hitting it. I got so bored with it, you know. How many golf lovers are here? Don't take that personally, all right? You guys whack it with the stick, and I started throwing it, you know. And it's just, I'm different with regard to those things. You're different with regard to some things, you know. I just don't understand how you can get out there in the mud and tend those green leaves. You go for it. You're different to me. That's what you're meant to be doing. Me, I'd mow them. and while I'm mowing them, I'd go, wow, this reminds me of being on the tractor back home on the farm. Oh, isn't this great? As another leaf gets chopped to smithereens, you know. Whereas she's out there and she's putting them all back together again. You know, we're different. We're different. But God takes our uniqueness and fills us with His Holy Spirit, because there are new people out there that are going to be touched by you, your uniqueness. When it comes to this Tamil, yeah, I get pretty excited, because the way I put it is that I found my place. You know, I got really excited by seeing, I can't read this, I can't read your language, Christo. It's circles and squiggles and you know, it looks really different. In fact, I was going to get Isaiah to demonstrate it for you, but that might be asking too much. But I wish I could, but I got so excited. I got so excited, and oh praise the Lord. And I suddenly realized, man, why am I excited? I'm excited because I found my place, and I'm doing the thing I've been called to. Right? And that's not just for me. That's for all of us. This loving Father that we're told about this morning, He wants to draw us into fellowship with Him so that we are able to be filled with His Holy Spirit, so that we can do the stuff that He wants us to do. Find our place in Him and do the thing He's called us to. So, you know, if you want a title, you can say, Finding Your Place and Doing Your Thing. Redeeming that phrase, because so often it meant something else back in the past. But here in God, it means being uniquely you and being filled with the Holy Spirit of God and allowing Him to use you. And this one thing, we've over the past few weeks, we've been looking at all of this, and I've been thinking about, well, what is it? What is it? What is it? And so if I could ask you, I mean, I've gone way off my notes here. So Isaiah, could you go right down to where it says content? And if you could bring that slide up where it says content, there we go. And what I'd like to ask you to do, those of you that are taking notes, if you could please just note down, this is Colossians, and I'm not going to read it all. I'm not going to read any of it, actually. But I would like you to just note down Colossians 3, verse 1 through to chapter 4, verse 6. All right, that's good. I like what you're doing. You're taking a photo of it, right? I don't know whether you've noticed, but Tony Tullio has. What I do is I use my phone, my smartphone, and I go to my Bible app, and what I do is I take notes. And so I know exactly what Greg Metzger said 4 weeks ago. I know exactly what George Bowen said last week. And so I remind myself of what they've said during the week. And this is one of the ways, you just won't grow if you listen. If you just listen, you won't grow. I mean, you need to be, somehow getting this stuff down. And if you do, you'll make great leaps and strides in your own personal walk with Christ, which is what this is all about. And so, yeah, take a photo of it. That's a good idea. And then look through it. We leave in the first part of Colossians, right? The old things are left behind. Put to death, Paul says. We live according to the new principles that there are in Christ. Our marriage and family relationships change, and our relations with society change. And I'm not going to go through that. I may do that later on in weeks to come, but I'd really like you to read Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through to chapter 4, verse 6, and remembering that it breaks into those kinds of sections. We leave old things behind. We live according to new principles in Christ. Our marriage and family relationships change, and our relations with society changes. Now, at the end of the service, not at the beginning, I'm going to give you something. Here it is here. It's quite extensive, and some of you are going to hate me for giving out this, because the minute you read this, you're entering into spiritual warfare. Any volunteers for spiritual warfare here? All right? You read this, you're going to enter into spiritual warfare. Some of you will intensely dislike me for what is going to happen, but that's your business. All right? That's something that I'm going to give you at the end of the service. You take home. And what it's about, what all this is about, is that when you sum up where Christ wants us, where God wants us to step up into, we're to step up into being Christ-like. All right? And you know, some of you say, me, Christ-like? Yes, yes, yes. We are called to be like Christ. That's why I put the Colossians stuff up there. That's all about moving into Christ-likeness. You know, I know it kind of just rolls off the lips, Christ-likeness, right? But the fact of the matter is that by the power of the Holy Spirit on this unique person that's made himself available and made herself available, the Holy Spirit will transform us from glory to glory into Christ-likeness. Into Christ-likeness. So that we get to the point, this is the goal, so that we get to the point when we walk into somebody's home or we walk into our job or whatever. They may not be able to recognize this, but the fact of the matter is that Phil Underwood or Charlie Price or whoever is walking into a situation in their uniqueness, but in their uniqueness, they're being Christ-like. All right? They're being Christ-like. And so when Greg spoke to us a couple of weeks ago, he talked about making this our goal, reaching higher. I don't think there's anything higher that we can attain to than being Christ-like. Taking the game to a new level, he talked about, doubling the points. Every character trait in God is to shine through us, he said. In Romans 8:29, you could put Romans 8:28 and 29 up if you like, because they've had time to take their photos. And look at this. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. All right? You could have read that grace. It would have had the same impact as what you did read. All right? Who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. We are being transformed from glory to glory. You could put another word, we're being conformed. As life goes by and the things that happen to us happen, we become conformed. If we're obedient to God and allow him to work in us, we become conformed to the image of his son. That he might be, I just love reading this stuff, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. There's that family again. The firstborn among many brothers and sisters, being conformed. Oh, thank you, Lord God. And then you also used a scripture from 1 Corinthians 15, where you talked, verse 48, I believe it was, and you talked about us being conformed to the image of the heavenly man. All right? By making ourselves available to God, that the power of the Holy Spirit is going to transform us and conform us to the image of Christ. He is the heavenly man. Right? The earthly man is Adam and the human race. Right? We're not called to become, the most powerful punch on the earth was Mike Tyson. And so, you know, we might have a goal that we want to be like Mike Tyson. No, that's an earthly man. You don't want to ever be conformed to the image of an earthly man. Or it might be that there's some singer out there that you idolize and think he's really great or she's really great. And man, I just want to be like that. No, you don't. You want to be the person that God has called you. Lauren Daigle, famous as she is, I don't think she set out to be anybody else. To be what God has made her to be.
I just watched her sing the national anthem at a game last week. Powerful stuff.
And so don't be conformed to the image of the Jonas Brothers, You know, see them. Whoever thought the Jonas Brothers would come back? You know, that's got to be one of the biggest resuscitation stories that's ever been. You know, when you think about it, they were well and truly dead and gone, but they're back. They're from New Jersey. They're from an Assemblies of God church in New Jersey. Don't know whether you knew that. Yeah, their father was an Assemblies of God pastor. Yeah. So anyway, they had six of the most bought songs last year. Unbelievable. So anyway, I don't want to be like the Jonas Brothers. Can't sing that high for a start. But do you get what I'm saying? We're not to emulate. We're to emulate the earthly man or the earthly woman. We're to emulate Christ Jesus. We're to be Christ-like. So what does it look like to be Christ-like? What do I want to live for? Now, Greg went through this. He says, what the first thing he asked was, what do I live for? Do I live for prosperity? Do I chase cash? Do I want cash? Do I want popularity? Is it popularity that I want? Is it pleasure that I want? Is it power? So many people want power. And Greg went on to say that God's not opposed to these things, but we're to be Christ-like. And that means that we're to pray to grow in our Christ-likeness. We're to pray. We're to read the Word of God. We're to worship. We're to memorize Scripture. And we're facilitating those. Every Monday, that Scripture goes out. Right? These are the four of the foundations of devotional life. And George Bowen, last week, he talked about what is of first importance. And it's these things that are of first importance. These things are of first importance. So we're to be obedient, but we're to understand that the power comes from God. We're to work hard, we're to toil, we're to expend energy. George Bowen even read the scripture from Philippians where it talks about working out your salvation in fear and trembling. Not talking about the act of salvation, talking about the works of salvation. And remembering that he who began a good work in us will complete it. He will complete it. He's a good father. So we have all the power that we need. The power that spoke into the chaos of Genesis chapter 1 is the same power that speaks into our lives and helps us to become more Christ-like. That's an awesome thought. Helps us to become more Christ-like. Helps us to become more than adequate to become excellent reflectors of the image of God. So George ended up by saying, what's the one thing, asking us the question, what's the one thing I can do in my life or in my family or in my school? What's the one thing I can do? And so let's put it together a little bit here now, what we've heard over the last 3 weeks. We've got one more in this series of going to a higher place in God. Next week we have the youth group who are going to take the service, and we're having communion and all of that. Then we have, I think it's the first Sunday in February. I think it's also Super Bowl Sunday. Right? Is that right? The first Sunday in February is Super Bowl Sunday. And that's when we'll finish this series about reaching higher, going higher, being positioned in God. And of course, Super Bowl Sunday, the one thing is that, as far as positioning is concerned, we can't help but understand this, that if we're not positioned as a receiver, right, the ball's going to hit the ground. It's going to be what? Incomplete. Can we say incomplete? Incomplete? Yeah. That's not what God wants. God wants a completion. All right? He wants us to be in position. He wants us to receive from him, and he wants us to be uniquely demonstrating his image in this world in which we live. He wants to lead and guide us in Christ-likeness, to become more Christ-like. Life can be a real dung heap. Do you know what a dung heap is? How many of you have been on a farm, right? How many of you, I'm off a farm. And on the farm, we had a place where, we only had 100 and something or other cows. My niece, she's got 1,500 cows. So what do they do with it all? Right? What do they do with it all? There's processing plants now, but back in the day when I was a kid, we just had this big dung heap, right? We had this big dung heap. And what we would do is we would have people from the town, like Jody and Mike, they would come in because it was prime dung, right? And they would come in and they would take it back to their gardens and they would spread it on their gardens. Some of it we would spread on our farm, of course, because it reduced the cost for fertilizer and all that kind of stuff. But, man, it was smelly. It was sticky. The last thing you wanted to do was to fall into it. You know, if you fell into it, you were in big trouble, right? I remember my father fell into it once, and rather than walk along the main road back home to the house to have a, he walked right round the edge of the farm. He walked right round the edge of the farm so that nobody would see that he had fallen into the dung heap, all right? Yeah, it was a terrible situation. And so life, we can fall into the dung heap of life, or we can make ourselves available to God. There are so many of us who are, on Thursday night we were doing practicing at doing short testimonies. And in the template we were using, it says, use two words to describe yourself before you became a Christian. And so I wrote down arrogant, and what was the other word I wrote down? I wrote down arrogant and dominating others, right? Arrogant and just pushing others aside. Domineering, yeah. Was I domineering? Yeah. Yeah. And so those are, and then I met Christ, and instead of being, well, some people might say I'm still arrogant and domineering, but God's working on that to make me humble. Am I better than I was? Is that what you just said? My wife just said that I'm better than I was. So that's a good thing. So the dung heap of life is made up of things like arrogance and shutting others down, seizing, you know, that's phrase, seizing the day. So often we'll go out and seize the day at somebody else's expense. That's part of the dung heap of life. If we've got to put somebody else down, pornography is part of the dung heap of life. Being controlled by money is part of the dung heap of life. And the prophetic word that we had this morning was saying to us, the Father speaking to us, and he's saying, you know, despite all of this, come to me. Come to me. All right? Despite all of this, come to me. I want to set you free from all of that. I want to raise you up from all of that. I want you to be who I've created you to be. I don't want you to be arrogant. I don't want you to be domineering. I don't want you to seize opportunity at somebody else's expense. I don't want you trapped in the web of porn. I don't want you thinking about money every moment of the day. You know, all of these kinds of things that can trap us and distract us. This is not what we've been designed for. God wants us to come back to Him and stand with Him and fellowship with Him. And He wants us to be filled by His Holy Spirit so that we're able to reflect Him and not the dung heap of life. You see? So that we can reflect Christ. We can reflect God. That's what we were made for, not the dung heap of life. I hope that's not too nasty, that illustration. But Paul talks about it being a dung heap also. So we've been designed for the purposes of God in a very unique kind of way. Remember George Bowen, he said, keep the gospel front and center. Paul always gave to people what he considered, what he received and what he considered to be of first importance. That's what he gave to people, what he considered to be from God and of first importance. Now, there's a way of measuring our progress in this. And this is what I want to give out to you. And I wanted to leave it to the end of the service because then I'm able to run out that door before anybody can get a hold of me. But I want to give to you a checklist, if you like. And it comes out of the Bible. And it checks yourself out with regard to what Christ said about certain things and about our availability to God. In fact, it's something that's been translated into Tamil, actually, and it's some of the material that I use when I go overseas. And so I want to give this to you, and I do give it to you with a caveat, and that is that, and I've put a warning on it right at the top, my spiritual growth plans, right? We want to step higher in God. One way of rephrasing that, Greg, would be, what are my spiritual growth plans? Now, can I be that intentional about spiritual growth? All this stuff, you know, here I am. I understand that I'm made, I'm uniquely representative of God. I understand that as I make myself available to the power of the Holy Spirit, He's able to take that unique representation of God that I am and use me, anointed by the Holy Spirit. He can do that. That's what we're meant to do. But then, I wasn't very intentional about that. Is there anything that I can be intentional about? Is there? Can we have a spiritual growth plan? Is it offensive to even use that phrase, spiritual growth plan? Or do we not want to have a spiritual growth plan? We have plans for just about everything else in life. Why not have a spiritual growth plan? So here, there might be some people that this phrase doesn't particularly gel with. And just as this was put together, by the way, by some Open Brethren people. Now, they're pretty tight. Right, that's where I'm from. Right, I spent half of my time as a young person in Open Brethren, the other half in Pentecostal circles, which back in the day was just not heard of. And so this stuff here comes from some Open Brethren folk. So the warning is, before you read this article, understand that by reading it, you enter a great spiritual battle. So before you start, make some commitments. Make some commitments. Put to death the works of sinful flesh. That's in Romans chapter 8, verse 13. Do you want to write that down? Romans chapter 8, verse 13. No, you don't have to, because it's on this, and you're going to take one of these away. Put to death the works of our sinful flesh. Secondly, keep your eyes on Jesus and use the weapons that He's given to us: prayer, faith, the Word of God, fruit of the Spirit. And there's a whole raft of scriptures that come after that. And the third thing is, accept the discipline of God. Accept. Now, a lot of us are really afraid of that phrase, accept the discipline of God. But this morning, sovereignly, we have been forewarned. He's not mad at us. His discipline is good. And the Word is full of that. I could give you a few scriptures about that, and they're written down here. But the discipline of God is good for us. Spiritual growth starts with submission in Christ. We want Him to transform every part of our lives. The Holy Spirit lives in us, will help us to improve as we submit to Christ. And so there's a whole list of items that we can submit to God. Now, you take this away. It's a private document. It is not a document whereby you would compare yourself to anybody else. That's not what's happening here. You don't compare yourself ever to anybody else. That's comparing yourself to the earthly man. You understand? But you're comparing yourself and lining yourself up. You're checking yourself out with the Word of God. So, in the area of consecration, do you need to strengthen your faith in God and His Word? If so, how do you plan to do this? There's a scripture there. Do you need to try harder to forgive those who have offended you without criticizing them? There's some scriptures there. How will we do this? Do you need to be more careful to pray daily for your family? Pray for the needy. Pray for the unsaved. Pray for co-workers in Christ, your friends, and those who are in authority over you. Philippians 4:6. How will I do that? Do we need to improve our testimony before unbelievers? How will I do that? Do you need to pay your debts on time, more punctually? Do you need to be more patient? Yes, I do. How will I develop patience? That's a good question, Phil. Yeah. All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give this to Joanna. Would you go down to the back, Joanna, and would you hand these out from the back forwards? And if you would do this side. So take a side each, and if you would hand it from the back forwards. All right. So it's a challenge. I do believe that the challenge that God is bringing to us is that we make ourselves available to Him. Make ourselves available to Him. And let's check ourselves out. Let's be bold before God. Let's check ourselves out and ask ourselves the question, am I available to God? To reflect God. Even with something as simple as a cup of cold water or a smile or a kind look. Remember months ago I talked to you about, you know, looking up and looking as you walk past people, look them in the eye if they'll look at you and give them a bright, how are you? And the difference that makes to their life. Right? Try it out. Try it out. A kind greeting. Intentionally make yourself available to God so that you can be at the right place at the right time. You know, some people say that we're alive, literally, and I'll explain this to you on Super Bowl Sunday. It's a fact that we are alive and here in this building today because somebody was in the right place at the right time and prepared to receive. They were prepared to do their job. Some say we're alive today. We are alive today here in this place. Because there was a person in the right place at the right time. I'll tell you that story on Super Bowl Sunday. All right? And really, I'm saying that we would not be here if it was not for that particular person being at the right place at the right time in 1985. Simple. So check yourself out. I've given you a challenge. You have a challenge in your hand. Take this article and read it at home. Measure your progress. In spiritual growth from time to time, don't compare yourself with other people, but allow the Lord Jesus Christ to work in your life. Every several months or so, you know, don't get all, what's the word I'm looking for about it? Don't become obsessed by it. Don't become obsessed by it, but just every couple of months, check your obedience to His commands. Ask His forgiveness and help. And press on to a higher place, renewed strength, sincere and humble prayers. Let's see where this takes you. I don't want to know, but you want to know, don't you? You want to know where God wants to take you in all of this. And so, let's pray. Let's finish up and let's pray. Father God, I want to thank You that You've spoken to us this morning, that You've reminded us, Lord God, that You're not that person in the sky with a big stick that beats everybody down. That You are our Father, and that as our Father, You love Your children. And that, Lord God, You call Your children to Yourself to come and sup with You, to, Lord, to be filled with You, to be empowered by Your Holy Spirit, so that, Lord God, as we leave this place, that we go as unique expressions of Yourself, filled with the Holy Spirit, being transformed and becoming more and more Christ-like as every day goes by. Lord, for the good of Your kingdom. Lord, not for our good, but for the good of Your kingdom. For the good of this planet that we live on. For the good of the people of this planet that we live on. Father, You placed us here to be stewards of Your creation. Lead us and guide us by the power of Your Holy Spirit to be good stewards, keeping the gospel message front and center. Lord, not necessarily by word, but by demonstration of lifestyle. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, just come and be upon this people. Lord, I thank You for George Barron last week reminding us of Paul speaking to Timothy and saying, fan into flame that which You received, Timothy, by the laying on of hands. This morning, we say to ourselves, Lord, I make myself available and will fan into flame what you have placed in my life to your glory. Amen? Fan into flame. Remember that phrase. Fan into flame, Lord God, what I've received from you. Fan it into flame. Empower me by the Holy Spirit, Lord God, that, Lord, I would represent you in a Christ-like manner. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.